Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 171, being recorded on the 23rd of March, 2017, with special guest, Edward Walton. I'm Sujit, and on Skype with me, I have Kale, and our special guest, Edward. And before we start with him, Kale, let's get our listeners caught up on the latest in the Azure space. And as usual, you've done a great job in putting a bunch of things in the show notes, so I'd appreciate it if you want to get started with some of your favorites in there.
Yeah, there's a couple in here that kind of interested me and maybe pertain even to some of the discussion today, but the first one obviously would be blockchain. So today we had an announcement from the product group for a new set of templates to do multi-member consortium networks. So in the past, we've released a template up there in Azure in the marketplace that allows you to spin up, you know, an end node type deployment, as many nodes as you want. But you can think of that more like static nodes, right? So we've created that environment now with, let's say, 10 nodes in it. And the real use case when we start moving to close, you know, more like mature production environments is we want other people to be able to attach to these now, these networks that we create in blockchain. So maybe it's a single organization that has multiple subscriptions, or it could be multiple organizations that want to coordinate together either privately or over the internet. Those require obviously some other kind of tweaks to make that actually work, because the blockchain itself, you would need a couple pieces of info in order to attach to someone's network. And so this facilitates that. It makes it much easier to go ahead and start realizing those more mature kind of production settings for blockchain.
Wow, nice. And you know, the I think the whole thing with the blockchain has been getting a lot of press these days. Some of it is good, some of it is bad sometimes when I read about it, but it's I think everyone's excited about it. I just wonder sometimes, are people going after blockchain for the right reasons, or is it just become like a buzzword thing now?
Yeah, that's the danger, right, of these emerging technologies is it becomes like the latest buzzword that everybody needs to have one in whatever color they like it. And that's that's not necessarily a great thing for the product or for the customer. So it's best to, like you said, Sujit, figure out, does it make sense for my situation? Does it add value to maybe an application or a solution that I have deployed? And that's the real value to using these kind of technologies, obviously.
Yep, that's true. Well, just as blockchain is one of your favorite topics, one of mine, as you know, is Service Fabric. And I'm happy to announce we did have some update on that this week. It's been a while since we had an update in Service Fabric, and they've been quietly working on it, and they released Service Fabric version 5.5. It's been deployed to all the clusters already in Azure, and along with that, there's a brand new SDK version 2.5, and there's a bunch of updates in there. Of course, they made things a little faster. You can do compressed application packages now, so that, you know, when you upload your stuff to the image store, it's a lot quicker. They put some other debugging and error handling, but I think the key updates are in the .NET Core and ASP.NET Core area. And now ASP.NET Core is now fully integrated with the stateful and stateless services, the reliable services. So that's something that a lot of people I know have been waiting for. And also the .NET Core now supports the new CS Proj system and Visual Studio 2017. As you know, we moved back into CS Proj, and now that's of course fully supported for Service Fabric as well. So I thought that was you know, a long time coming, but listeners should take a look at that when they get a chance.
And that's a one-way thing, right? That one, just to point out to listeners, the project system update, once you migrate, it's kind of like you can't really interoperate at the same time, right? You migrate to one model. Yeah,
that's a good point. Thanks for pointing that out, Kale. And what else is there?
Yeah, one thing that's kind of close to me, because I do a lot of work with templates, obviously, the Azure, there's a blog post out there about some new documentation for creating resource manager templates. And so it has a lot of new features. You can go check it out. It basically has ways to simplify your template creation, copying JSON directly in there, finding resource types. There's a bunch of new things up there that they've kind of published around guidance of how to actually create those things. Because it's, obviously we've talked about this in the past, but, simple ones where it's just like one or two resources is not bad. But, when you start taking out a whole resource group that, say, that has many, many resources inside of it, it can get quite of a challenge to kind of make sure you got the syntax right, you got all the values in there that you need, and be able to kind of format that. So there's just some new reference out there for kind of the values that are inside of those templates to make it easier as you're writing those.
Yes, and when you talk about templates, it was with last time, right, with Gino and others, we talked about that. So that's a good follow-up right there. And then they've also come up with a new, I guess, the Azure AD B2C access tokens facility. This was interesting because, I think we all we do a lot of web development, but we also write a lot of APIs. And it's always tricky to authenticate and authorize these APIs. And now you can do that with the Azure AD, because the Azure AD B2C was typically used for web properties, and now you could use it for just as easily for the APIs that you have by using these access tokens. And that you can, so you could allow some APIs to be accessed with a particular access token, but not all other APIs. And so you can have a lot of flexibility in how you want to do that. This is something that customers have been asking for a long time, and it is now available. So, it's in public preview, so that's where it's at right now.
Cool. The last one I saw here was it's a pretty cool geeky one, and it's actually from a CVP who put the blog post out here about the network innovation front inside of Azure. And basically, it kind of does a relatively good kind of deep dive into software-defined networks and, some of the internals about how Azure has taken the approach of trying to speed up network capability and network speed throughput, but also reduce power and have a smaller footprint and all these kind of things. So kind of trying to squeeze the most out of networking infrastructure and how that's kind of done in Azure and how we've kind of approached that. It's a really cool article you should read through. We'll put it in the show notes, but basically it kind of walks through some of the optics in internals of how those things actually function.
Nice. And it's amazing that they can actually write about all this, right? They're really opening up all the internals of Azure in this way. It's so transparent about it. I think that's a good thing. All right. So I think that's the whole wrap-up of the recent updates. Let's get to our special guest, Edward Walton. Edward, thanks for joining us today, and appreciate if you could start by giving our listeners a brief overview about your background, what you're passionate about in the Azure space, and we can take it from there.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. My name is Edward Walton. I'm a Cloud Solution Architect-P with Microsoft in the Enterprise Mobility and Security PDU. The PDU is for Practice Development Unit. I've been with Microsoft in a very short time, but have been part of the partner ecosystem for over 12 years. So I've worked at various partners in a multitude of roles and technical disciplines. My passion is around traditional infrastructure that eventually translated and transferred and transitioned over to Azure around 4 years ago. But my base and bread and butter has always been in the security arena. I've augmented that being in the Unified Communication Suite since the days of BPOS. But I have moved over into doing security with a focus around EMS and also Azure technology. So I sort of float between an Azure CSA and a EMS CSA. My role within Microsoft is to enable partners, hence the P in my title, to build security practices or enhance their current security solutions utilizing the EMS suite, which consists of five core products that I am responsible for maintaining a high level of competency in and subject matter expertise in. And that's what I do here at Microsoft. Good times.
No, that's really great. You know, I don't think we've, Cale, have we had a discussion on EMS on the podcast before?
I don't think so. Definitely not a deep dive. We may have glanced over it a few times, but definitely not anything below just a quick notion about it. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, would it make sense maybe to just touch upon that real quickly, and then we can see where that takes us?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So, when you say EMS, you typically get the same response that Cale said, that we sort of glance over it because it seems to be the EMS was synonymous with MDM or device management. But Microsoft's initiative in the secure message or the secure one message is that EMS is part of a total ecosystem that comprises the secure productive enterprise initiative that Microsoft has. And that is the traditional data center, desktop, mobile, and Azure. And so within the EMS suite, the core five products are Azure Active Directory, which is the linchpin of the solution. Identity is the new perimeter, as it's been told. Azure Information Protection, which is prior rights management service, which has been evolved to AIP by the acquisition of Secure Island. It also includes the traditional Intune with the MDM solution, as well as MAM, which is mobile application management. We round out our product offering with CAS, which is cloud application security, which is by virtue of the acquisition of Adlum, and Advanced Threat Analytics, which is primarily an on-premise identity and authentication anomaly and detection product that you can pull on-premise to protect on-premise identities. And so when you round all these things together, they are part of the Azure security offering within SPE. And if you combine that with what is going on with the other security initiatives within Microsoft around Windows 10, Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, you get something that is a very, very, very robust solution that I like to say, as part of all the training I've been doing with partners, you stop the kill chain by building a better chain. And so we're not telling partners to depreciate or deprecate their current security investments. We're just telling you, you need to probably look at this as an augmentation alongside what you have. And it gives you very, very, very good actionable intelligence and actionable insight about what is going on in your environment. And each one of these products is very powerful, but when you put them together, you're able to do tremendous amount of good for your customers as well as within Microsoft, because we eat our own dog food.
So just to clarify one thing, when you say for our partners, what does that mean? Give us an idea as to what a partner looks like. I'm not sure I understand, you know, how we help our partners. Is it their partners or the partners' customers? Who are we helping here?
We're actually helping both. That's a good question. So CSA-P is an initiative within Microsoft to outfit numerous amounts of CSAs, and I'm one of three CSAs in the United States, and I'm one of 16 across the world in my particular role. And so what we do, we work with Microsoft partners who have a competency in O365, Azure, EMS, and we look at what they are doing as far as security offerings to their customers. So what we do is we go in and we train them and we enable them and we coach them and mentor them in a program that is part of my PDU. So we currently have a selection process that we bring in select partners that are either strong in security or looking to commit in security and make Microsoft part of that core offering. And we coach them, lecture them, enable them, have special projects and special funding to get them up to scale around EMS to help them go out and deliver robust solutions to their customers. There are some one-offs where we work directly with a customer, but 99% of my day-to-day role is working directly with Microsoft partners. And that partners can be Silver partners, Gold partners. Every now and then we have, you know, NSPs or Elite partners, but they are generally have graduated or have such a high level of skill that they generally come to us when they need remediation or stay current with updates because they're not as quite as fast as Azure, but pretty fast.
Got it. That really clarifies it. Thank you. And the other comment I wanted to make, I know, Kale, you probably want to ask some questions too. I just want to get this one thing cleared. So when you went through all the parts of EMS, right, mm-hmm. all the various components, I was trying to write them down, and those were a gigantic number of acronyms that I had to write down over there. I'm just trying to say, like, you know, how do you kind of bottle it down so that customers or partners don't get too confused with all these offerings? It seems like fairly, you know, I don't know, is it confusing, or do they get confused with all these offerings?
Yeah, they do, and I've had to, you know, buffer that and remediate that because that is a concern of a customer. They feel overwhelmed with offering. So one of the metaphors or one of the things I do to help ease that concern is to think of a bag of M&Ms. I tell customers everyone likes M&Ms, just about everybody. And could you eat an entire bag of M&Ms at one time? You could, but it wouldn't be pleasant. So let's try to eat the M&Ms in measurable and you know, so good quantities that you feel comfortable taking them on. So you may want to eat the red M&M, which is Azure Active Directory, and build a competence and ability to deliver that at a high level. And then the next product may be, hey, you know, let's look at this Azure Information Protection and what it does for my customers. And some customers partnered it up and said, we're really strong in Active Directory and Azure Active Directory, but not really strong inside Intune. Help us come up to speed on that. And so while all of these products are part of the E5 subscription model in EMS, you don't actually have to consume and deploy them all at once. We've had some customers who are very, very interested in maybe one or two parts of the offering. And it can be daunting at first, but once customers realize there is a very methodical deployment methodology and you can use recyclable, you know, IP, because most of the customers that we're going after or the partners are working with are already 365 customers. So E5 subscription or EMS bolts on very easily to their own investment in Office 365. And there is some overlap between the security products in 365 and the ones that are offered in the E5 subscription or EMS. And so when a customer wants to deploy it, come up to speed on it, you can do it at once, or you can do it ad hoc, and you can do it in tandem with the products. So it's really up to the customers, their history, the comfort level, on how they want to approach them consuming the knowledge and developing IP and delivering it to their customers.
Yeah, so, I mean, Edward, this is great stuff. And from a security angle, it kind of fits, you know, the mantra there of security. Obviously, we try to secure certain things by saying, hey, you can control the configuration of your devices, or you can control the perimeter network, or you can control all these different pieces. And each one of those has good things that are happening inside its little isolated container. But when you put them all together, it becomes something even more stronger. And so I think that's the layered approach is obviously something for many years that security has kind of touted as one of the private things to actually do, or the most important things to do in security. But I'm interested, like, so if someone comes along, you mentioned quite a lot of products here, and it might be a little bit hard for people to even get up to speed. And like you said, they can consume it, you know, as they have time, or, you know, as their enterprise matures or whatnot. But I guess my question would be, like, is this stuff kind of fragmented? Like, how do they find it? Is this something like once they go into O365 and they're sitting at their admin portal, they can basically enable and light up these things inside of there? Or is this something where they need some guidance, or they need to be able to know that these things exist and how to get access to them?
That's a very good question. And so they're quite a few ways to gain access and exposure to what the offerings are and how best to deploy them or to approach them. If you have 365 experience, you already have exposure to Azure Active Directory. And why that's important in my role is you see the importance and the great power in Azure AD once you go to EMS E5, because that gets you into the P2 subscription model. And so my group sort of touches a couple of arenas. One of our products is primarily a on-premise solution, which is Advanced Threat Analytics. It is part of the EMS E3 subscription model, which is supplied to customers once they have that. And so that's something they can deploy on-premise, either virtualized or physical. Azure Active Directory is a offering, but if you already have Azure Active Directory by virtue of 365, all you're doing is adding the E5 subscription model to then give you P1 and P2, which is needed to bring on the other products such as AIP, as well as two other products that are not directly in my product set, which is Azure Identity Protection and Azure Identity Management. But you also get the ability to use Cloud App Security, which is a CASB solution that Microsoft has. So if I had to lay out a roadmap, you look at customers or you look at partners that have delivered a O365 solution. So you have non-perishable IP. You go back and you look and say, hey, how do I expand my security practice to include a secure, productive environment? Identity is the linchpin. You can secure the perimeter. You can secure the devices. You can secure the application. And negative security actors realize that. So they're going after the weakness that tends to go up and down, which is the user, which is an identity. So we tell customers the way you protect these other access is to protect the identity and educate your users around that. And how do you do that? You look at what they're doing, where they're doing it, how often they're doing it. And so EMS uses a lot of things in the background that people don't know, a lot of things that you guys touch on in your realm, such as Microsoft Graph, AI, machine learning, and I wouldn't be surprised if cognitive services one time or another comes in. I have other duties where I touch other CSAs who are very, very Azure heavy, and so now I delve into Azure Security Center, OMS for logging. So EMS is sort of in the middle, similar to OMS, where you can just plug it in and use the rich reporting and telemetry to report out to the other solutions you may have in hand. So customers generally take on Azure Active Directory, and then they look at Intune because they're familiar with, you know, competitors like AirWatch and how to do device management. And then they look at the MAM solution. And then they say, well, how do I protect their identity? And we look at Azure Identity Management. And then they realize the identity is not really what's going on. We're trying to see what our guys are doing with our documents, our IP, and you know, confidential information, which is very in which AIP, Azure Information Protection, is a very powerful solution. Imagine that you have a document that you've classified as secret or top secret, all right, through a process inside your internal processes. How do you know what that customer is doing with that? Are they sharing it in OneDrive, Dropbox, you know, Moxie, or any other cloud file sharing solutions? And so you have that potential for DLP. But with a product that like Azure Information Protection, you can classify that document and use security groups and other controls to say, if this person is not authorized to look at this document, they can't open it, they can't copy it, they can't screenshot it, you can't print it, you can't copy the Linux, you can't copy it to anything to try to manipulate that document. Short of opening the document up and taking a picture of it with your phone, which you know, no one can stop that, that document is secure. And the other strength is, suppose that this document is has been sent to someone and they don't have access to get back to the Azure Information Protection system inside Azure, you can set document termination or document explosion. So if I sent you a Word document that had financials, and for some reason the device that you have it on or you can't get back to the Azure Information Protection portal, it will self-destruct and disappear in a predetermined time. So those are one of the other strengths of one of the products inside of EMS. And Azure Active Directory speaks for itself, right? You can pivot on it. You can do login on it. You can control it. You can sync it with your on-premise and differentiate between a cloud provision identity as well as on-premise. And so those two together provide tremendous value. The Intune? Oh, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I guess the other question I would have is, so now – you know, that's great. You explain, like, how people can kind of get access to where some of these things are. I guess the other question I would have is there's a kind of a mantra in Azure now to help guide customers prescriptively. So we had Bernardo on here a while back talking about some of the things they've been working on in Azure to basically, like, you know, from a, let's take a real basic level, hey, you know, you're only running a single VM, and, you know, in order to get the SLA of X, you need to have multiple and these kind of things. So basically prescriptive guidance. Do these systems that we've been talking about here, do any of these plug in so that they could come into one of these dashboards and say, hey, you actually should turn this on to help increase security in your environment?
Absolutely. And so when you have Azure, you know, Azure AD, it will start to prompt you that you have P1 or P2, and sometimes customers who are busy with day to day don't necessarily look at those or just think they're additional offerings or upgrade to what they already have, and this is where our partners come in to provide and be that virtual CISO, that virtual managed security provider, and come in and say, hey, you are entitled for this, you have this. But I do understand the customers have other initiatives. So we look at what are some of the products within our stack that would bring enlightenment to the other and enhance or entice them to move forward. One of those things is Cloud App Security. It is a CASB solution, and what it is, it's a security broker. And what it does, it looks at all of the SaaS applications, mobile applications, or web applications that are working within your environment. And there are a few deployment models, right? Some of them are a little bit involved, but most of them are fairly straightforward to get in, maybe 3 or 4 deployment models. And when you deploy this solution, which is very easy to do, has several, you know, fast track or enablement programs to get you going, you'll be surprised at the customers when you go in and you ask them, what's running your environment? What cloud applications are you using? And you'll get the typical response. Well, we're using some Dropbox here. We're doing something this and something this and something this. And then we come back and we ask, is this sanctioned, unsanctioned, or this shadow IT? And so when you say that buzzword, shadow IT, they're like, well, go for it. I'm like, people are doing things to get their job done. Sometimes they turn on stuff inadvertently because they want to get their job done and be proficient. And they may provision a Slack environment within your infrastructure, or set up a Dropbox sharing between someone within their department. And they may have inadvertent DLP. So with Cloud App Security, you can see those things. I can see, once enabled per user, what they're doing with data within your infrastructure. So I can see if they're sharing documents via web applications, file storage sharing applications, 365, very, very powerful because of the API's hook-ins to see what they're doing. And once customers see that and see that dashboard, and it has everything from source IP to destination, what was done with it, who it was shared with externally as well as internally, and gives them a very, very nice dashboard. And so it gives you actionable intelligence to say, wow, this explains why our bandwidth usage went up tremendously in this location. And so Microsoft has a, as part of our Digital Crime Center, which is a huge little oxymoron, right? A facility that we pull in intelligence from all around the world, from threat intelligence as well as other customers. And so when we deploy this solution, they look at it and they, wow, we didn't know we had that running. How do we remediate this? Or how do we continue to discover and monitor? That leads back into, well, are you doing any type of device management? Well, sort of. Are you doing any type of data protection? Well, we're doing RMS on-premise, but we didn't really think about it in the cloud. And then we come back and say, well, how are you protecting against identities on-premise that may be compromised and you don't know? Well, we're running a couple of products. Do you have any counterbalance? No. I suggest that you look at advanced threat analysis because it's also enabled as part of your subscription model. And so now the customers start to see it and the partners start to see it, like, I can build out an entire secure chain to block the kill chain. And the good part about this is, if you're familiar with deploying 365, if you're familiar with deploying Azure as a, you know, a infrastructure service, a cloud service, you're partway there for doing EMS. It's very easy to use with reusable knowledge and knowledge share from the previous things that you deployed. And so it seems like it's daunting, but my mission and my job within my role is to show the customers the learning curve is not that high, and there's the ability to not only use the products for what they're intended, but build out service solutions by helping customers build things such as virtual socks, or having the ability to offsource their alerting to someone else who has access to their EMS subscription and or Azure subscription. And a lot of customers are getting it, and a lot of partners are getting it, and they're going out and they're creating holistic solutions around EMS because of the previous Level 365. And the ability, one other thing, the ability to enhance the security offerings that are native to 365. So EMS is just a natural progression from what you can get inside 365.
That's very insightful, Edward. Really good stuff there. And I can see that you're very passionate about this area. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll drone on if you don't stop me.
No, that's, as I said, it was confusing to me when we first started this show, and I think at least I've gotten a very, very good understanding of what it entails. And I like the way that it covers not just Office 365, but also Azure, right? It kind of blends the two, because a lot of the security concepts they go across both clouds, so to speak. A lot of customers they will write applications written in Azure and integrated with Office 365, but don't realize there are security implications with all the information that's being passed up and down. And I think this kind of makes that all apparent and puts it out there for everyone to know. So I think it's good. It's very good.
And one thing I'd like to say is that we're also getting a lot of interest from traditional security vendors, entities that were not Microsoft shops because they made their living saying how insecure Microsoft products were. And now they're going in and say, wow, we didn't know Microsoft was doing this. And my response to them is, Microsoft is the largest security company you've never heard of. You know, they spend close to $1 billion a year as part of their security initiative. And that could be in-house, product development and creation as well as acquisitions. And so when security companies, I can name a few that go out, as well as traditional consulting companies, PwC, EY, and things like that, come in, we've eased the burden of them going into their customers trying to talk Microsoft and solution in the same breath and not get joked at, right? And so when they see this platform, the customers go, wow, how hard is this to implement? Open up your portal in Azure. Mm. Because 90% of our product is in Azure. We have ATA, which is Advanced Threat Analysis. It is an on-premise identity and login and authentication anomaly behavior detection mechanism. And so that product, I'd like to talk about a little bit, is based on something that we like to say, assume you're breached. Assume you have been breached. And with that assumption, go in and take action to discover how long, and what the remediation path is. And so ATA log is introduced inside your environment, and it looks at the authentication via Kerberos, DNS, and anything else that could be used to impersonate man in the middle, pass the hash, pass overplay, as well as the golden ticket attack, which ATA is the only product on the market that can detect the golden ticket, which is nothing more than a hash replay / Kerberos authentication. You hold on to it and attach it to any identity that you want to elevate the privileges and move around a customer's environment. We can detect that. And so when you and it's really based on the authentication requests to the domain controllers, because while there is a threat on work group or standalone machines, majority of the attacks occur because someone's credentials have been impersonated or compromised, and they're still authenticating to either on-premise Active Directory, which is ATA, or Azure Active Directory, which is remediated with Azure Identity Protection. And so now you've covered both sides. And even if you have a hybrid environment with Azure AD Connect to synchronize, the products detect that if someone's trying to escalate and jump and hop within your environment. And so now the customer goes, wow, I have this. And then they always ask the question, what's feeding this? So then I go, that's Azure. That's Microsoft Graph. that's machine learning, that's BI, and that's telemetry for the stuff you've already deployed. So your history in 365 helps feed your security posture going forward.
That's fantastic. A great way to put it there, Edward. Well, I think this has been a lot of information and all very, very useful. I really appreciate Edward taking the time to explain to us in layman terms. Thank you for doing that.
Not at all. I really appreciate you guys. And I think I'd like to close with an emphasis on understanding and letting the customers and letting our listeners know this is built on Azure. This is built on cloud technology. Mm-hmm. So EMS is cloud. It is right. Mobile. And so this helps secure and ease the anxiety of going to the cloud. And we do eat our own dog food. So Microsoft is using the same technology to protect theirs, in addition to some stuff they won't talk about. But you can rest assured that, you know, every customer that's using this is feeding to the hive mind to help stop the kill chain by building a better chain with EMS.
Awesome. That's great. Well, again, thanks again for taking the time to join us today, Edward. Cale, any last questions or comments for Edward?
No, I think this has been great, and really appreciate you coming on, Edward, to educate our listeners a bit on the suite here to make up a really secure environment. And we talked about that before, but basically being able to provide that secure, productive environment that everybody's looking for. So thanks.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to go get more information, you can always Bing or go to the TechNet blogs. I recently put a blog out there around Azure AD Connect and Health and Security. And you can look up EMS and the products that are part of it, download a trial. The demos that are part of EMS are outstanding, and you can be able to try it before you buy it.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Have a good night.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle, @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.